There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Weamy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Unstuck Podcast. And you guys, I cannot believe that I have one of my mentors as a guest today coming to us from outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Sandy Herbert is a friend of mine. We actually met probably about 8 months ago, and Sandy and I became fast friends and really taken on this a cool mentor-mentee relationship and then so much more. And I got to tell you guys, like when I first got to meet Sandy, I was so intimidated by her because she is so stinking successful. And kind of a funny story, I actually asked her if she'd be willing to be interviewed by me on a Facebook Live at this leadership retreat we were at. And she obliged, and the two of us got to talking and we hit it off, and it's been kind of fun ever since. But there's a reason that I asked Sandy to be on this podcast. She is somebody that I look up to so much. She is such a beacon of just survival and professionalism and success. And I cannot wait, Sandy, for everybody to get a chance to hear your story. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh my
wow, what an introduction.
Gosh, I look up to you so much, and I can't wait for people to hear about you. So let's just get started. I want you to give yourself right now, which is hard for us, especially women, to brag on ourselves a little bit. But I want you to tell us some of the things that you are most proud of. And it can be professionally, it can be personally. You can tell us both for all I care. But I really want people to get a sense for why I'm in so much of an awe of you as a leader and as a professional.
Well, girl, I feel the same about you. And thank you very much, because I am nothing special. But I would say right now, probably one of the biggest things that I am most proud of is I am a grandma. That is one of the things that I'm most proud of.
I love it.
Personally, I'm very proud of myself. I've always been a workaholic, and I have always worked hard and made very little. And I finally, when I was 45 years old, figured out how to work smart. So I'm very proud about that also. So I have a lot to be proud of, but I also have a lot of gratefulness and blessings along the way. So,
oh my goodness, you are so humble. You are so humble. I love it. Okay, so tell us, you've owned several businesses. Tell us about some of the businesses that you've owned.
Okay, so started out of high school. Well, I'm just going to share a little bit about my story.
Perfect.
I grew up in Augusta, Missouri. I am the oldest of four children. My mom and dad owned a trash hauling company. And being the oldest of four children, I literally was on a trash truck. If I was not in school, I was working on a trash truck. And I was either shagging on the back of the trash truck, or when I was old enough to drive a trash truck, there was a trash truck parked in the high school parking lot waiting for me after school. I was the driver, my brother was the shagger, that we picked up our friend's trash after school. So being raised in a family-owned business, I knew that I wanted to own my own business or work for myself. I worked part-time in high school for a lady who owned a sourdough bread company in Augusta. And I worked for her because she gave me a paycheck. Working in a family-owned business, you didn't always receive a paycheck because you're part of the family. You were just keeping the business alive and thriving.
Right.
And my dream when I was in high school, because truly I did not like school, but was to be a cosmetologist, because I love making people feel good. I love being the sounding board for people and allowing them. I guess when you're a cosmetologist, you're also a therapist and sometimes even a nurse, I guess, and I love taking care of people. So that's what my passion was. When I was 18, I was getting ready to go to cosmetology school and leave my job working at the bakery. She had asked me three different times to partner with her. And guys, I want to tell you, sometimes we just don't see the blessings in front of us. And we don't understand the opportunities that are being handed to us. And three times I told this lady, no, I am not interested. I do not want to work with her. I do not want to start this business. And I went on to cosmetology school, and she went on and created the St. Louis Bread Company that became Panera Bread.
Wow.
So again, you just don't know. And I stood behind a chair for 20 years. I was a nail instructor and I was a cosmetologist. I loved what I did and did that for 20 years. I had two beautiful daughters along the way and moved to Nashville and helped my sister open up a coffee shop that ended up me being the owner. She ended up wanting to quit because she said it was too hard of work. So over another 20 years, I expanded that coffee shop by having four locations in hospitals, one freestanding, a catering business, and I also had a concession truck. So I did weddings and events and different things like that.
Holy buckets. Like that is, you are one busy woman who definitely had some experience running businesses. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Now I enjoy taking care of my grandchildren, but I still run my own business. I run a multi-million dollar business now a year that I own. And actually I own a part of, I should say. I work with these two amazing doctors and I help build teams all over. I look for people who are wanting to make changes in their lives. And this is what's so awesome about this business is this is how you and I met.
Right.
Because business allows us the opportunity to meet people and build relationships and help people change their lives if they're looking for that. So yeah, it's now life is amazing. I work smart now. I don't work physically hard anymore, and I enjoy it thoroughly. I have so much fun doing what I do now.
And, you know, because you are actually somebody that is a leader in the same organization that I partnered with. So we work for the same doctors. We have the same business. And technically, I fall within your organization. How many people do you lead in your organization about?
Thousands.
Yeah.
Let me back up.
And so you went from having coffee shops and your catering business and having to raise your girls and working really hard to now being able to raise your grandkids, or not raise, but spend time with them at 55, which is young, and work part-time hours, it seems like, from what you've said. What did your life look like now that it didn't 20 years ago, 10 years ago?
Let's just say that 10 years ago, I wasn't sure that I was ever going to get out of where I was at. Life was tough. Life was hard. We were living off of leftovers from the catering business. It was tough. It was a down economy and the coffee shops were not doing great. So I was looking for different ways to bring income into the house because my husband, thank you to him, he's military and he is disabled. And we had five children that we supported and took care of and loved and got to school every day. So I was the worker of the family and he took care of the kids and the family. So 10 years ago, oh my God, I will never forget those days. And I will always remember how hard life was and appreciate where I'm at now, because now, let's see, I'm 55 years old and I 3 years ago built and owned my first home. And I didn't do it sparingly.
It's beautiful, by the way.
A beautiful 5,500 square foot long home. And here's the beauty of this business is in my life right now is this business has given me the opportunity to share it with everybody else. Life is not like it was 10 years ago, thank God, because if we would have kept going the way we were, I'm not sure what my health would be like today.
Right. And you know, you obviously are not afraid of hard work. And I know that where you're at now is a result of the hard work that you've put in. So this isn't something that just came to you. Like, you've worked your butt off for it. So Sandy, you know, obviously have quite a drive, and you obviously knew that you wanted more for yourself. But because I know you, I also know that you had to overcome a lot to get to the point that you're at right now. And I know that it's sometimes not easy to talk about some of the things that we've kind of put in our past. But I also think that there's so much power in helping other people see that wherever they're at, they don't have to stay there. And wherever they're at, they don't have to remain a victim of it. And that it is our responsibility to overcome the things, even though they're not always our fault. And so I know that you've shared with me some things. I'm sure that there's more to your story, and that's what I would love for us to hear today is, what is something that you feel like you've had to go through in which you at the time felt like you were a victim of your circumstances, or you felt hopeless or helpless, or you felt like life was just handing you a really, really tough hand? Can you give us any kind of ideas of what you've had to go through around those senses?
Yes. So I'm going to go back to that 10 years ago. Life was really heavy. And, you know, through my childhood, it was funny because somebody asked me, tell me something good that happened in your childhood. And I really couldn't answer that question because through my childhood, we always worked and it was hard. And when we played, it was hard also because my parents' type of playing was going camping. We would go camping to get away from the business for a weekend. But when we went camping, it was also hard work. My mom and I never really got along, and my dad and I were close. My mom was very controlling. And so I wanted out of the house as fast as I could, ended up marrying twice and making very bad decisions, which ended up harming my children through some very bad abuse that went on with my children. When I married my husband that I'm married to now, he adopted my children. And through the heartaches and the hardships and the crap my daughters went through, my husband and I found an organization called Bikers Against Child Abuse. And we started Bikers Against Child Abuse in Tennessee, and we ran that organization for 10 years. Wow. And that was part of my healing for what happened to my children. And it was also part of my children's healing for what happened to them. So that was one whole circumstance. But then when I had the business with my sister and my mom, I don't know, she always told me she found me under a trash truck and a trash can. And I always kind of believed it because she treated me so different than she treated my siblings, that about 12, 15 years ago, somewhere around there, my mother sued me for $65,000.
Wow.
That I owed her for the business that she helped my sister and I get into, mm-hmm. which, by the way, she paid herself back cash out of the business twice of what she sued me for. I mean, I had a lot of heavy stuff. You know, you're supposed to love and honor your mother and father. And there was no way I could love and honor my mother and father because of all the heartache that I was going through, to the point where 10 years ago is when she looked at my daughter and told her that she's no longer her granddaughter. Oh. And I haven't had a relationship with my mom or dad or my sisters now for probably 10 or 12 years. So all of that combined really wears on someone. I was at church one Sunday and I found myself up in front of the church behind the pulpit, just bawling my eyes out, just asking God to please show me a better way because I didn't know where to turn anymore. And I didn't know how to get out of the situations I was in. And I didn't know how to create more money for the family because literally we were struggling bad. And that's when this business that I'm with now fell into my lap and it really changed our lives. But here's the thing. When I started this business and working with these doctors, everybody has a different story and they think, you know, that my story was such a successful story, but they don't know the grit and the grind and getting in the ditches with the people.
Right.
Yeah. And so in the beginning, when I started with this company, I started off very fast and was doing very well. And it was a brand new company at that time. I was one of the first 200 consultants that joined, or maybe 250 consultants, and was doing really well for the first 6 months. And I hit a wall, and I had 7 consultants and 6 of them quit. And they quit because they did not understand where this company could take us. And, you know, I got to the point where I thought, okay, that's a sign from God. My consultants quit and things were falling apart. And I felt like it was time for me to just give up and walk away. But I'm not a quitter. And I literally had a mindset shift, which is very hard. Very hard when you are in the pit of, holy crap, how do I get out of this? Mm-hmm. It's very hard to have a mind shift. And I had a friend introduce The Secret to me.
Nice.
And I watched The Secret. And at first I didn't understand it.
I mean, it's definitely, if you're new to that, it's a different way of thinking for sure.
Absolutely.
But life changing at the same time.
Life changing. So the first time I watched it, I thought, this is unbelievable. I don't believe that this really could work. So I started testing myself a little bit. In The Secret, it talks about, hey, when you go into the grocery store, think about parking in the first parking lot by the front door. And by golly, I thought about it all the way there. And when I pulled into the grocery store, that parking spot was opened and I was able to park at the front door, which I was never able to do. I was always at the end of the parking lot. So I thought, okay, well, if that worked, let me watch this show again. Let me watch this documentary again and see what can happen next. And it was baby steps. It was about 6 months of watching it. Golly, probably I watched it once a week and started practicing to keep the bad thoughts out of my head and stay focused. And I noticed little things changing. I noticed things changing in my family. I noticed things changing in my business, and I noticed things changing in my coffee shop business, because I still had the 5 coffee shops and a catering business, to the point that a year after that, I was able to close all 5 of my coffee shops and shut down my catering business and walk away from all of that because my other business took off and I was one of the top earners. And it truly was because I shifted my mindset and I got in the ditches and got back to work. Now my life is nothing like it was 10 years ago. And it was not an easy journey. And yes, I hit many walls. And even today, still Christmas time, I decided I was going to take 3 weeks off at Christmas, not talk to anybody. I was going to play with my grandkids. I was going to stay in my pajamas most of the time, watch Hallmark movies every once in a while. And in January, thank goodness, in December, I was booking appointments for the first and second weekend in January, because if I would not have booked those appointments, I would probably still be on that couch.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to remotivate yourself.
100%. So I'm going to go back to a couple of things that you've said because they're really standing out to me. So you've had a tough childhood, you know, not something that you really would want modeled for anyone. And somehow you were able to create this family that you're so proud of. And I think that's amazing when you feel like perhaps you haven't been modeled the type of parenting that you want, but yet you are able to create it. You told me straight away at this interview that you're most proud of your family. And I think that's so awesome that you've been able to overcome that, that you didn't repeat that cycle. And you also mentioned that you had a couple of marriages there that were not good experiences and that, without getting into a lot of detail, were really hard on your girls. But one of the things that you said was that you went on to create a nonprofit, Bikers Against Child Abuse. So clearly something happened there that really sparked that ambition. What made you not turn into a revengeful, you know, sour person when somebody impacts your children in a way that's not okay? And how did you take that and turn it into something good?
Okay, so for the first little while, I would say that I could have killed someone.
Okay, good. So you're human. Awesome.
Together with my husband, because he adopted my children. So the love and the support that he had and had given me, and he knew, he always said, Sandy, I knew that if you put your mind to it, you would be successful at whatever you do because you're such a hard worker and you never give up. And I'm glad he saw it in me because I didn't see it in me for a lot of years.
Yeah.
It was truly the support of my husband and the support of me having to stay positive, which is not easy, but you have got to find a way to overcome it. And it was truly watching the documentary of The Secret over and over and over again. And I even downloaded the book and I listened to the book while I was driving, and I downloaded Jim Rohn and I listened to Kim talking about you got to plant the seeds, and some of those seeds the birds are going to eat, and some of the seeds are going to drown in the rain, and just a few of those seeds are going to pop through and they're going to blossom. My favorite prayer or saying or whatever you want to call it is footprints in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always known that sometimes I feel like I'm walking alone, but I know that I'm not.
One of the things that, you know, I'm going to try to articulate this as a kind of a way to summarize that is going in reverse order. Your faith has been really important to you. So without that, you would not have been able to get through the things that you've been able to get through. You surrounding yourself with positive thinking and listening to things that are going to change the way that you think. So listening to inspirational content from leaders, listening to The Secret, reading The Secret, applying it. So you really tried to surround yourself with things that were going to help you grow. And then it sounds to me like starting your nonprofit in Tennessee was a way for you to help other people. And I think that what I found with myself is that when we can take our pain and we can refocus it into a service of others, our energy changes and our pain starts to be refocused into a service of other people. Did you find that with yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because with Bikers Against Child Abuse, being able to help those children helped me and it helped my children heal and grow and understand. And the biggest thing it helped me with was to forgive, because I carried a lot of guilt and shame for what happened to myself and my children. And being able to help others and love on other people and be there as a support system and guide them, it just teaches you a lot. And boy, I'll tell you, it really keeps you humbled also.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. And so, okay. So you also mentioned in your story, I keep hearing, you know, that you've had to work hard your whole life. Like it's all you've known. So part of it just might be who you are as a person. But it sounds like you're a human as well. And I find that I sometimes just lose my motivation. And you've been in this particular business now for 10 years. And because I'm in the same business as you, I know how hard it is. And I know how hard it is to keep going sometimes when you feel stuck, when you feel like things are outside of your comfort zone and you're scared. What are some of the things that you've done to overcome that, or are they things you've had to overcome? Maybe they've been easy for you. I don't know.
There are things that I've had to overcome, and community is huge. The community of this business that we are in together, Michelle, meeting you, you helped me overcome being able to do Facebook videos to my teams. I never would get on there live and do a Facebook video because I was scared to death. And just over the last 8 months of yours and my friendship and working together, you helped me overcome that. And I never say that I know everything because I do not. I have lots to learn, and I hope that I have a lot to give also. And the community in what we do and the business that we work and the people that we help. I've seen life change through me helping them build their businesses and free them from their jobs, bring their husbands home, put their kids through college. And that is so gratifying and so rewarding. And it's just amazing.
And so that service to other people is what keeps you going, that you know that you're making a difference. So that helps you overcome just being scared of doing things new and being human and wanting to stay in your pajamas for 3 weeks and getting out of that for sure.
I go out and talk to people and know that I have the opportunity of maybe helping someone change their life. That's huge.
Okay, so Sandy, you know, you are obviously still successful. You've been doing this particular business for 10 years, but you've been a hard worker for many years. Are there ever times now where you feel like you are stuck, where you feel like you're a victim to circumstances, that you feel like you are helpless or hopeless in any way?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
I think as a human that you never not have that. And if you are a person out there that you never have any of those adjectives that she just named, please give me a call. I would love to talk to you.
I love that. So, okay. Yeah. So what kind of things then have you done? Because you talked about the secret, you talked about your faith, you talked about being of service to other people. Are those kind of the same themes that go through your life for the little things as well as the big things we've already talked about? Or are there other things that you use to get yourself unstuck for the little things?
I still have to get out. I cannot sit at home for more than 2 or 3 days. I start feeling like, I don't know, like I'm getting into a depression because I am so used to being out and talking to people. So I have to continue every single day to work on myself.
Okay.
So that I can help others. I love to be out around people. And when I find myself that I'm home and not around people, I start feeling a little depressed.
Yeah.
Like I'm not worthy or I'm not a good business person or something like that.
Yeah.
It's really weird how our minds will play these games with
ourselves. Oh my gosh, it's terrible, isn't it? Okay, so what do you want our listeners to hear as far as advice for how to keep going? How to keep going despite the things that are holding us back, the crappy things that might have happened in our lives, the unfortunate situations that maybe be out of our control. Maybe we are just feeling stuck in our own heads or by fear or time or money or any of the things. How can you help our listeners overcome that?
You have to find something that makes you happy. So listening to music used to be that, but I find now that listening to podcasts, listening to motivational speakers, listening to a really good personal development book, audio while I'm driving. I am always looking to better myself. And, you know, it's funny because 10 years ago, I didn't even know there was such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned all of this over the last 10 years. So if I am feeling down or not feeling worthy, I will listen to a motivational podcast. There's some really great ones out there. You, of course, have awesome podcasts.
Thanks. I didn't even pay you to say that.
because I know you personally, you're just an awesome, good-hearted, wonderful person. But there's a lot of different people out there that I could name or not name, but
you totally can. Yeah. What do you love to listen to?
Oh, so Rachel Hollis,
yep.
She does a live podcast, speaking in the morning on Facebook. So cool. I usually pop her on.
Awesome.
Love listening to, Bob Heilig. He's really good. Mm-hmm. I have a real dear friend, Janelle Bunt, who, you know, also
I do
just wrote a book and I love listen. We have our conversation every morning. We have coffee together. in conversation every morning because we give each other the fuel. And you know, that's another thing about life is finding an accountability partner. If it's exercising, if it's motivational, whatever it is, having an accountability partner is so important. My husband is my number one accountability partner, but he don't always have the right answers. So I have to sometimes turn to some very dear friends like you and, you know, Kitty and a couple other of my friends. So yeah, find something that makes you happy. And our podcast or a speaker or a book and dig into it. Keep a journal. Sometimes me just sitting down and writing down what I'm grateful for the day, that's huge. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our life and we get wrapped up in negativity around us, which there's negativity everywhere. You can't even turn on TV without having negativity. And sometimes when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you go to bed with that on your heart. And sometimes I have to write down before I go to bed what I'm grateful for and what I'm happy for and what I'm blessed for before I go to bed so that I have positive things on my mind. And when I wake up the next morning, you wake up with those positive things on your mind and it makes a difference in your day.
I love that. And that's just literally living out the secret, right? Living out the law of attraction, living out the deliberate seeking out a positive energy around you in order for you to be able to attract a positive life. And I love that. Okay, Sandy, so I'm so grateful that our listeners had a chance to get to know you a little bit. How can our listeners get a hold of you? Maybe somebody listened to you, something that you had to say, and you're like, gosh, you know, I really can feel her heart and wanting to help people, and your story resonated with me, and I would love to connect. Or maybe they heard your story and they're like, wow, she's really successful. I would love to partner with you in the business that you're talking about. So how can people get a hold of you, Sandy, if they want to continue a conversation with you?
Well, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm all over Facebook. My name is Sandy Herbert. In parentheses, it's Sandy Tucker. I'm on LinkedIn, and my email is sandyherbertrf@gmail.com. So I'm pretty easy to find. I love having conversations. I also love doing Zoom. Bring your glass of wine or your cup of coffee, and we can sit there and talk and get to know each other. Maybe I could help someone.
So. I love it. And thank you so much for your servant heart. You're so humble considering, like, I wish I could just brag on you for like an hour. So that's, you know, how much you mean to me. And I'm just always impressed by everything that you've had to overcome. And you've never made it an excuse. You just figure out a way to get over it, get past it, keep moving on. And in order to help more people. And I love that. So thank you so much for everything that you had to share with us and your heart, and love you, girl.
Girl, that's what you're supposed to do. And I love you too. And thank you so much for asking me to be on your show. This was really amazing.
Awesome. Now, don't forget to hit subscribe so that you don't miss any of this awesomeness. And I will see you here next week as we discover ways to get ourselves unstuck and walk together in order for all of us to step boldly into the life that we are meant to.